Thank you. I'm Roz, I'm an addict.
Hi, Roz.
Hello. How do I want to start? I want to start off by saying, if there's any newcomers here, welcome. This is the only place that I come to and I stopped taking drugs, and more importantly, I stayed stopped. And it's been a few years now, and thanks Jason for your chair. And I think they got the two gravelly voiced Cockneys, like it's like Bo and Gert, isn't it? In first, me second, like the Cockneys with a gravelly voice, hello, it's me. And before the meeting, I literally went into the toilet, downstairs, I literally do it every time. I grab loads of tissue, put it onto the floor, on my knees, please God help me. Help me to do this chair, help me to be honest and remove my ego. And I do that every time. It's just something that I do before I do a chair. And I feel a bit chaired out, actually, if I'm honest. I just came back from Zurich at the weekend, and the joys of recovery, I'll tell you where I started off basically, but the joys of recovery, I just come back from Zurich, and the convention committee over there paid for me to go over and to do a chair at a convention, and I was going, what, me? They want to hear me? And I went, do they fucking realise who they've asked? And my disclaimer is, I'm Roz, I'm an addict, I swear and I cry, and you know what I mean? And I actually said that when I went over there, and you know, it was just like the joys of recovery. It's like the things I've done in recovery have been amazing. I'll touch on that after, and just to touch on where I come from. And, you know, my parents are both Italian, even though I sound Cockney. Both my parents are Italian, and I grew up in a, you know, my dad was the governor, I'm the boss, you know, and he was a fucking raging gambler. The same. It's, the disease is exactly the same, except for his fix was like the gambling. And and we used to have a cafe opposite Euston Station, and my poor mum would be working like 12 hours a day, like, you know, literally from 8 a.m. till 8 p.m. and my dad would just take the money out of the till and go next door. There's a betting shop right next door, he's been Mecca Bookmakers next door, and just do the lot, you know what I mean? And I used to see my mum's face, or even as I say it, it makes me feel fucking upset for her, you know what I mean? And just see my mum's face. She'd work 12 hours for that money and he'd just literally take it out of the till, go next door, you know? So, and then after that, it'd be like Walthamstow dog tracks, and then it'd have like all the Italians coming up, playing cards upstairs, you know, like betting. It was just constant, absolutely constant, you know? And I remember sitting there, I fucking hated him. I used to go, he's a fucking bastard, and he was really strict, and he never let me, you know, never let me outside the house, and because I was the only girl. And I just remember, like, being a child like that, I was on tender hooks the whole time. It was like eggshells. He was always like really, you know, you knew when he had a win because he was happy, and you knew when he lost, which was most of the time, you know, because we used to get a come round the head, and you know, so I was always like living on my nerves. It just felt like I wasn't in a safe home, is what I'm trying to say. It wasn't safe, and no one spoke in my ass, you know what I mean? You sit around a dinner table and go, pasta sauce! You'd be like, fucking hell, do you know what I mean? Like, all right, yeah, I mean, it was like he's only asking for a bit of salt, you know, and so everyone screamed, that's the Italian, and it's like, oh, I'm actually the same, I'm all arms and legs, and you know, and passionate, so blame the parents, you know, so that's where I come from. And you know, just that sort of uncertainty, that not feeling safe. And you know, and I remember I always wanted to be somewhere else. Like, my dad was such a good cook, he still is, and you know, and we'd have like things like game, like pheasant and partridge, and I'd be going, what's that, you know, like. And my friend, you know, we moved from the CAF to Listen Green Estate, and my mate along the balcony, you know, like, Carol her name was, and she wound up being godmother to my kids, and she, like, they was in this English family, and I just remember I wanted beans on toast. We didn't have a fucking can of beans in my house, do you know what I mean? And she'd come in and go, what you got for dinner tonight? What I'm trying to say is, nothing was ever enough. I wanted to be somewhere else. I wanted different parents because they spoke with an accent, and the shame around that, you know. And my older brother speaks quite posh. I'm the Cockney one, and my other younger brother speaks, well, in between the two of us, really. He lives in Australia now, so he's probably got a fucking Aussie accent. You know, so I always remember, like, not feeling, you know, I never fitted in. Do you know what I mean? I wanted to be this, like, the English family, you know, and I didn't want to be there. And, you know, and that's how I was. And, you know, and then obviously coming into recovery and then realising, you know, why I was like that, how I was like that, how I was wired, how my brain works, how the disease of addiction for me, I'm talking about me, and this is my experience. I'm not going to tell you what to do. I'm not here to impress anyone. I'm here to tell you how I got clean, how I stayed clean, and it's been one fucking journey. So if any newcomers, fucking buckle your seatbelt, you're in for the ride of your life, trust me. Do you know what I mean? There's going to be ups, there's going to be downs, there's going to be tears, blood, sweat, tears, broken relationships, you know, relationships with myself, relationships with my family, relationships with my higher power, which I got. You know, when I first come in, I'm a sort of a recovering Catholic as well. You know, I looked up and went, God, I was like, oh, fuck that, you know, and being made to go to church every Sunday, you know, and yeah, so coming in and I just didn't know what was wrong with me, you know, and then realising that, you know, the disease centres in my head. You know, I have a disease that tells me, firstly, it tells me I'm okay. You're all right. You're sweet. You know, you can go and do that. You know, anything that's fucking bad for me, I will jump in with 2 feet. Yeah, straight in there. Don't think about it. And then I get there and go, how the fuck did I wind up here? You know, or tell me to do something that's good for me, loving, kind, self-care, caring for me. And I'll be like, oh, don't know about that. Let me have a little think about that. I'll have a little discussion. You know, took me a long time to work it out, you know. And for me, you know, as I said, my disease centres in my mind, you know. And for me, my job's disease is to kill me. Physically, spiritually, mentally, emotionally. That's its fucking job. Every single day. And what I have to do is work this program, I say, like, turn the coin over, to turn that coin over, you know, and, you know, and live in, you know, because it's like all that dark seedy, you know what I mean? And it's like we live in the light, which is true. And that sounds a bit, you know, we're in the light. But it's actually true, you know, and I can flick that switch quite easy, you know. Doesn't matter how long I've been around, you know, something will happen. Normally emotionally, that's what I can't cope with, you know. So if I'm not emotionally honest, that's when I start, hello, I'm going to start acting out here. And also for me, everyone that knows, there's quite a few people that know me in this room, I share fucking everything in a meeting, absolutely everything. I'm here, as I said, to save my life. I'm not here to sound, well, I've got X amount of years clean, this is how I work my programme, and I'm, fuck that shit. I've done all that out there, do you know what I mean? That lying, cheating, deceiving. I need to be my authentic self, and that's took a long, long time. You know, I came in here, I'm a piece of shit, I'm not worthy, I'm unlovable, you know, and I don't deserve fuck all, you know, and that's how I came. Today it's not like that, you know. I have good days, I have bad days. And what I realise is I'm human. That's fine too. And I make mistakes, you know. The thing today is I try not to hurt anyone. You know, I try not to be, to hurt anyone. And I try not to hurt myself. You know, and I remember going through that first step nine and my sponsor would put your name on that list. And I went, what? What do you mean? Put yourself on that list. What do you mean? Where's Roz on there? Oh, I don't know. What do you mean? You know. And that's all from, you know, bit, you know, in this program, the things I've learned along the way, you know, and then I realised it ain't just about the drugs. You know, drugs weren't the problem. The drugs actually gave me a relief for a while until they fucking smashed me against the wall, you know. And I always say, like, the analogy is, like, you know, when you're fucking using and it's like you're jumping out of a parachute, you're jumping out of a plane, like, and the parachute ain't on, you know, like, it's fucking there and you're free falling. That's the using. Fuck. Do you know what I mean? Where the fuck am I? You know, and then coming to recovery, you've got that little parachute that comes up and you go, okay, and then you just land safely, you know, and then you go, now what? What do I do now? I've just come from that. Fuck, help, you know. That's my analogy of it, you know. So, I came into recovery. I was married to a bank robber. And the reason I say that is because there is a point to that. You know, the lifestyle I led looked very glamorous on the outside. You know, as long as you look the part, I had a personal shoplifter. As long as you look the part, you know, everything was okay. You know, I mean, he didn't speak about his well-being. It weren't like, oh, I had a bad day while I robbed Securicall fucking this morning. Do you know what I mean? I feel a bit in touch with my emotions. You know, no one spoke about how they feel, even like, you know, younger when I grew up, and he was really, really violent. And I always share this because it just allows people, and it ain't just women that have domestic violence, it's men as well, do you know what I mean, that go through it. So, you know, I came into recovery and he was in prison, and I'd had enough, you know, I'd absolutely had enough. I had two daughters, and the end of my using was I was sitting in the front room, and I had a bottle of sleeping tablets, and I was ready to go. I thought, I cannot take this pain. I cannot take this anymore. It was that thing of that Groundhog Day, you know, like you're Jews and then you go, oh, fucking how did I get here again? Again and again and again and again and again, you know, and it's just like, why can't I? What's wrong? And that kept going through my mind. What's wrong with me? What the fuck is wrong with me? Why can't you stop? You can't, you this, you that, why can't I? You know, and I found out from working the steps, coming in here, working the steps, you know, and so my first meeting, my friend took me to my first meeting. She'd been to treatment, I used to use with her, and she took me to my first treatment. And I always share this, probably people have heard it before, but it's my experience and this is my, I can't change my story, it's my story, you know. And I walked into a women's meeting over in Highbury, and I saw the secretary, and she had a short fringe and a pair of Birkenstocks, and I thought, who the fuck is that? I've got nothing in common with her, don't like her, straight away I don't like her because of the way she dressed, don't like that one, don't like that one, don't like that one, don't like that one, because you don't speak like me, you don't look like me, because you're younger than me, because you've got a better figure than me, fucking hate you, whatever, you know. And the flip side of that coin was, I was a terrified, scared little girl, but I could not show you that, you know. We speak about, wow. That first meeting just fucking saved my life. That woman that I judged in my head, she started talking about how she felt and how she was thinking, and I just fucking instantly connected with her, and I just thought, oh my God, someone gets me. I've even got goosebumps as I'm sharing it. That first meeting was just so profound. You know, and it talks about, as a result of working these steps, we get a spiritual awakening. No. My spirit was awoken from that first meeting. When I heard that woman share, it was like that. You know, the pilot, the big pilot, the boiler with the pilot light, that little pilot light went on, and it was just that flicker of hope. And that was like, wow, you know what I mean? And I cried all through the meeting. And I went home, and I forgot to take my sleeping tablets. And I slept solidly for the first time in 18 years, all night long. And I remember getting up and thinking, fucking hell, they've got their meetings. I'm going to going back there next week to get some sleep. So I come to get some sleep. I don't recommend that to anyone, just going to get clean and stay clean, you know. And that was my first. I just thought, oh, I'm going to get some sleep, you know. But what I saw in that meeting was hope. And I share this as well. I think it was a second meeting or the third meeting, a woman started talking about being sexually abused. And I remember looking at her going, fuck off, shut up, what are you saying? Stop it. You know, and feeling so uncomfortable in my chair, just like wanting to run out the door. Because that was me. And I never, ever had the courage to share it. Serenity prayer for me means everything, the courage to change. Do you know what I mean? And, you know, and I come in with a lot of fucking shame, lots of shame. I think we all do. I know this is about my chair, but I think we all carry fucking shame, all of us, you know what I mean? Because that's what keeps me outside the door. You know, and what I've learned from coming here, the only thing that fucking smashes my shame to pieces is vulnerability. That's it. That is the only thing that will smash my shame to pieces. Getting vulnerable. This is how it is. This is what happened to me. This is how I'm feeling. Whatever it is. And that will smash my, you know, that will smash the shame. And so when I first come in, I thought, oh my God, that woman, she's talking about being sexually abused. Shut up, shut up. And then like my head was going, that happened to you at 9. Shut up, don't tell anyone. You know that battle in our fucking head. You know that fucking, I remember my first 90 days. I'll never forget it. Well, the first 30 is the hardest. I want it to pull my head up, throw it into the middle of the room and just kick it around like a football and go, ha, 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 ha. Do you know what I mean? That's what it felt like. First getting clean. I couldn't cope. You know, they say the good thing about recovery when you come in is like you get your feelings back. The fucking bad thing is you get your feelings back as well. You know, that's also true, you know, but I just think with the love of the fellowship, you know, just stay put, stay here. And that's what I mean when I said to the newcomers, buckle your seatbelt even for a ride of your life, because there'd be times like that. I'm going to sit here and go, my life's been amazing since the day I walked into it, you know. Sometimes it's hard. Sometimes it's hard, but I've got the tools today to use to get through that and not use, you know. And I remember my first sponsor saying to me, whatever's going on, don't pick up the phone. And that to this day stays with me. You know, the mad thing, like a higher power works for me, like this woman shared about the sexual abuse, that was on the Tuesday. Fucking day later, I think, the next day, I go into Duncan Terrace meeting, it's a mixed meeting. Bloke's doing the chair, what does he share about? The same thing. And I thought, that's fucking, like, what's going on here? You know what I mean? He spoke about it and I just cried. And I remember a man sitting next to me, he put his hand on me and he just said, Roz, it's okay to cry. I didn't cry for 18 years. I didn't cry. You know, and what he said, and at the time I sort of batted it off. And at the time he went, Roz, he said, your tears are water in your soul. And I remember at the time going, oh, shut up, you mug. Like in my head, you know what I mean? Shut up, you mug. Water in your soul. We're going on about, you know. It's so true. It's so true. You know what I mean? And that's why I say I swear and I cry, you know, because it's a healing process for me. So that was my start into recovery, you know. And this is how I asked my sponsor. I literally dug her in the ribs. I went, all right, darling, you want to sponsor me, would you? And just dug her in the ribs. Do you know what I mean? And she just looked at me and she went, I'll be honoured to. And I went, oh, my God, someone wants me. Ooh, you know, someone wants me. And we started going through the work. And at 2 years clean, you know, and I remember going to meetings in Camden. I remember them Camden meetings. You remember, like, what's the corner one? Was it Greenland Place? Carroll Street, yeah. You know, Friday Night Live at fucking the Camden meeting. Oh, this meeting fucking stunk. There was cats pissed dogs. You walk in there and you just got hit by this smell of piss. And I used to go in there and go, oh my God, what the fuck am I doing here? You know what I mean? How did I wind up here, you know? Fucking, because I'm so up there. You know, but you know, I joke about that, you know, the ego and everything else. But I tell you what I smelt more in that meeting, I smelt hope. That's what I fucking smelt, because there was people getting clean and they would come back week in, week out, week in, week out, sharing what was going on for them, and they staying clean. And I just thought, wow. This is all right. And then plus we used to go to bar solo after and fucking dance like lunatics all night long. Do you know what I mean? So it's like, the only ones not on any drugs. And then we're going, look at them right in the corner. We'd be like, yeah, you know, completely clean, you know, 90 dances in fucking 90 days. But, you know, so that was my fucking journey into recovery. And so I first started out, you know, this husband that I had, he was in prison and I was 2 years clean. And I just thought, I can't, I've got to go and tell him it's over. And someone in recovery come on a prison visit with me. We went up to, I think it was in Durham, I think. I can't remember. It was a long fucking train journey anyway. And I went up and told him, I just said, look, I'm leaving. I'm not your punch bag. And he was really extremely violent. I'm not your punch bag anymore and I'm leaving. I'm clean, I'm sober, I don't drink. You know, and he put his hand in front of his mouth, in his mouth, and he just said, I'm coming to iron you out. I'm coming to kill you. I don't care about your mum, your dad, the kids, or anything. And I remember coming back from that visit, and I left London. I left the two kids with my mum, and I just fucked off down to Bournemouth, and he come out of prison about two days later, and two or three days later, and then... and I just remember the fear around that. And the reason I mention him is like how this program works. I think despite myself as well, like roll the tape forward years later. And so I'd left him and, you know, I was terrified and, you know, do what any good addict does, like just pick up a boyfriend en route. You'll do, come with me. Do you know what I mean? This poor fucking bloke, like this psychopath coming out of prison, fucking to shoot me. And this guy, you know, this young buck. Was with me, you know, and I look back there and I just think, fucking hell. And I just think, well, if it wasn't for him, I wouldn't have left him, because I literally would have gone back and I'd have been using. There was no way. I was so scared of him that I would have gone back, you know. And And it's mad, it's really poignant that this meeting, because I was the first secretary at this meeting when it first started. It was 15 years ago, that's when I finished with Matt. And what happened was, well, a guy took it, and then 2 months in, he dropped out, and then I took it, so yeah. And it was about the time that I finished with Matt, and I remember coming in, it's like service keeps you clean, you know, because I remember going into meetings and women's meetings going, I love him, you don't understand. Crying, snot hanging, do you know what I mean? You don't understand. And they began, keep coming back, Roz, keep coming back. You know, my sponsor went, service keeps you clean. And I thought, what's she talking about? Service keeps you clean. And it was a Friday night, and that was our night. And I took the position off. I was tea person first for 2 months, and I was a secretary. And just throwing myself into meetings, and, you know, I spoke about that emotional pain, do you know what I mean? And it's just like, kept me coming back. Just, you know, and I look back now and I just think, oh my God. And, you know, I look back and I just think, life, it's about learning from, like, making my mistakes. I learn, I grow from them mistakes. You know, I'm not going to sit here and go, I'm my authentic self now, and I fucking love it, you know, and I haven't got to put all them masks on, you know. They speak about the mask and recovery, you know. I walked in here with a fucking suit of armour, you know, and it was like, literally, throw the gauntlet into the room, share. Throw the other one in, share, take that chest plate off, share, you know, and as I said, get real and vulnerable, you know, because getting vulnerable smashes the shame, what I said earlier. So, yeah, so that was me at 2 years clean. I left him, I run for my life. I was in Bournemouth. Anyway, clearly he didn't find me because I'm here. And the reason I mention it is because how this, you know, the programme works, as I said, despite myself. And I remember my first step four, I wrote on there, Bob, and I actually wrote, no fucking way. I'm not making amends to him. Fucking, he done this, he stabbed me, he done that. All of that stuff, you know. And my sponsor went, become willing. And I went, no, fuck him. Nah, that was me. Nah, fuck him, you know. Anyway, and then what happened was, when I was 9 years clean, he got cancer. He had cancer and he was terminal. And I forgave him instantly. It was like instantly I just melted. I forgave him, and I just thought, and I actually wrote a card, wrote my amends in a card to him, and I posted it to him, and just making my amends, you know. Just we had 18 years together, and I'm just going to remember the good times. I ain't got to put down anything else. I'm there to make my amends, not to, you know what I mean. And what he done was he said to my daughter that lives with me, because I had one daughter live with me and one that doesn't, that, you know, that didn't live with him, and he just said, look, he said, I thought I was going to die feeling ill of your mother. He went, and I'm not. And that to me was like, that was the amends just there, do you know what I mean? And but just that the ability to forgive, you know, it's like, and that comes from forgiving myself, first and foremost. That's where that comes from. If I can't forgive myself, I'm going to forgive everyone else, you know, with resentments and all the rest of it, you know. Because when I'm in resentment, when I'm actually doing a 4 hour, when I'm in the resentment, I'm in my head, I'm in the anger, I'm in the frustration, I'm in the hate, you know, I'm in there. You know, the minute I write it down, you know, and there's something about that magical, that writing that 4 down on that piece of paper, you know, and then the 5 is like, for me, praying, higher power and a sponsor that you're going to read that out, it's dropping from my head to the heart, and we hear that all the time. Drop from your head to your heart, and that's that 5 for me. I'm in the anger, resentment, hate, fuck you, bastard, cunt. And then I drop to the heart and go, here we go. Do you know what I mean? And under it, 9 out of 10, well, most of it actually is pain and what I need to heal from, you know. So that got a bit deep, didn't it? Fucking hell, Joyce. Anyway, you know, and what I've got from that, I said about my dad, you know, like, I hated my dad. I remember being young and, you know, because he was so strict, and thinking, when I get older, when he gets old, I'm going to put him in a fucking wheelchair and wheel him down the hill and just kill him because I hate him. I have scenarios that are going on in my head, you know what I mean, what I wanted to do to me dad, you know, And my dad's got cancer, he's got kidney cancer, and he's 90 years of age, and he lives alone, because my mum had a stroke, she had 2 strokes, and my mum's actually in a nursing home, you know, and I'm the only one that goes around to him, to see him, to look after him, to care for him, and this is the man that I fucking hated, you know what I mean, my dad, because he was so strict, you know, and it's like he's turned into this child, you know, Yeah, and that's a gift of recovery. You know, the other gift is, like, as I said, I've got two daughters, and even as I say it now, and if there's mothers here, I just want to get my tongue and pull it out and go, you know, one of them I used to really hit, and I mean fucking hit her, and the other one I didn't. You know, and the one I used to hit, there's still anger there. There's still, you know what I mean? It's been a while. I gave her the space to come into a place where, with therapy, that she can sit somewhere and feel safe to be able to share what she needed to share. And again, that was a gift of recovery. And trust me, I sat on that chair and I didn't even want to be there. She was telling me about myself and how it was as me being her mother that's meant to be loving and nurturing to her, and I wasn't. And hearing that, boy, trust me, that was like, you know, and that was a gift of recovery that I was able to give to her. I still say to this day, because it comes out sideways, you know what I mean? It's like, it comes out sideways, she'll do something, she'll go, and then she'll snap at me, and I go, okay. And then I have to go, my sponsor will go to me, be the adult. And I go, I don't want to be the fucking adult. She's a fucking little pram, she fucking annoys me. That's what I want to say, that's what my head's telling me. Sponsor goes, be kind, Roz. I want to be a cunt sometimes. Do you know what I mean? It's like, no, Roz, be kind, you know. And the reason I mention her is I've always said that when she has a child of her own, she's going to understand that. She's going to, you know, that circle for me is going to be closed. And she's pregnant. And the baby's due on Valentine's Day. It's not well, you know, and... I just think, fucking hell. And also, it just brings up that stuff of, like, I can see her, you know, having this baby. And, you know, I can use any excuse in the book. Like, he used to hit me, that's why I hit her. I was on drugs, that's why it happened. You know, I can use all that fucking rationalisation, all that, you know. And it comes before me, you know. And we can say that's that chain, that pattern. Like, my dad done it to me. I'm doing it to them, but we've got to break that, you know, you've got to break that chain, and it's got to be broken, and I'm looking forward to it. You know, it makes me feel even fucking older than I am. She goes, what do you want to be called? Like, grandma? Fucking grandma, no. And my mum's nonna, like that, and then she went, nonna. I went, no, there's only one nonna, and that's my mum. I went, I'm not nonna. I went, I'm going to be Nanny Roz. She went, all right then, Nanny Roz. And even as she said it, I was like, can you whisper it? can't they just call me Roz? So vain, do you know what I mean? Anyway, so, you know, just being able to be there for her and my family, do you know what I mean? And like, they're the biggest gifts as well. The friends I've made in recovery, you know, my mate Sarah, I'm going to mention her, you know what I mean? I would not be clean if it wasn't for that girl, you know what I mean? It's like, even if I don't see her all the time, just that ability to ring her up, you know, just talk and share and you know, and it's like my dad had cancer, her dad had cancer. It's mad. It's just like our lives have been so parallel, you know, going down. It's just like, you know, just get yourself you know, people that you can just fucking be yourself with. You know, we ain't got to... It's tiring to hold up that fucking mask and that this is who I am and this is who I ain't. And do you know what I mean? It's just so fucking tiring. You know, just coming here and it's like, just be whatever that is. I annoy people, they fucking annoy me. It's all right. It's fucking, I'm human, you know, and another gift of recovery, you know. And then I remember hearing, you know, and it hasn't all been plain sailing, you know, and I'm going to touch on the other things, you know, the fucking fun and everything. You know, I've been to conventions everywhere and I remember... And I'm going to touch on this as well, because, like, you're a woman and you're not meant to talk about sex, are you? Hello. I do, you know, and porn, that one as well. You know, I remember doing a church speaker meeting years ago and about four women come up to me after and went, oh, Roz, thank you for sharing that, you know what I mean? All hiding, like, you know, and I just thought, you know, it's fine, it's okay, you know. And I remember, you know, when you've got a mate of yours and you're hanging around together and you've got a friend in recovery, and, you know, because it's like, how do you have friends that are boys and you don't sleep with them? How does that equate? You know what I mean? And And I had a friend of mine, and he was a friend of mine. Well, he still is a fucking friend of mine for years and years and years. And I had this obsession with him. When I was about 9 years clean, I told him how I felt. Well, I didn't. That's a lie. I fucking emailed him. I didn't even have the courage to fucking. I didn't even have the courage to say, "Oh, this is how I feel," and I emailed him. And then I pressed send, and the minute I pressed send, I was like, "Oh my god, what the fuck have I done?" Do you know what I mean? And he made me wait 24 hours, the bastard. 24 hours, I was like, "You fucking bastard!" He made me wait. Anyway, it was a no, and the rejection I felt, oh my god, the pain, that rejection. I was like, "Oh my god!" Straight back to that, who I walked in with. You're no good, you're shit, you're unlovable, you're a piece of shit, no one loves you, da 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 da. And what do? Rather than share it out, rather than ring my sponsor, I started acting out. And then what I done was I found the internet, I found fucking Tinder, plenty of freaks, I call it, plenty of fish, you know. And my mate's an actress, and she got this beautiful loft apartment over in Islington, and there's me swanning around in my lingerie. You know, in this loft apartment, acting out, having sex with men, you know. I was 10 years clean. I was 10 years clean, you know, and that was on the back of a rejection, you know. And the end of that happened, you know, the end of that was, quite funny. The end of that was I'm sitting there one night and I'm like, okay, and a woman comes up on the screen and she goes, "Hello, I know I'm not what you're looking for, but you're very attractive." I was like, "Fuck it, say it to do before you die, Ross." I'm straight, by the way. I was in the car within fucking 10 minutes going to meet this Brazilian woman down at Good Street, Warren Street Station, right, in, off, running, down. And then I see this good-looking woman, and I sit there, and she's sitting there, and she knew, because obviously my thingy was like, you know, men. And I got there and I sat there and I sat opposite and I'm looking at her and then I just thought, one, I thought, what the fuck do I do with her? I've got no idea. No idea whatsoever, you know. And then I sat there and then I just thought, okay, Roz, where do you want to be? There's her, good looking girl, and there's men over there. And it's like, to myself, but it's fine, wherever I want to be, fucking wherever I want to be, but it doesn't matter. And I thought, where do I want to be? And I just thought, I want to be there, you know. And I just said, look, it's not going to happen. What I'm trying to say is I actually sat there and it was that point, almost at a moment of clarity when I went, how the fuck did I get here? And how many times have I said that when I was using drugs? I was using sex instead of drugs and that was the only fucking difference. And it brought me to the same dark, horrible place. I was in that place, might have been a £1 million loft apartment, dark, seedy. It was like night to morning, on the porn, on the thingy, and that's where it brought me to. And then I got to run my sponsor, got out of it, started working the steps. And the reason I mention this story is that man that I loved, yeah, I loved him, and I still do. I love him dearly, and I know he loves me. I haven't got to sleep with him. He was my friend. And the reason I fell in love with him, he was the first man I've ever trusted in my life. You know, and it took all that pain, all that fucking acting out, all that shit to finally work that out. Do you know what I mean? Going through the steps, going through therapy. And I remember being in therapy and my therapist said, "What are you going to do?" And I went, "I miss my mate, I miss him." Like that. And she goes, "Well, what are you going to do?" And I went, "Fucking ring him up." She went, "Well, ring him up then." And I remember ringing up and going, "Look, I'm over the rejection, give me a call back." You know what I mean? Boof. And we're still mates today, do you know what I mean? And, you know, and what I'm trying to say is, and that's another lesson learned, you know, it's like this man that I fucking love him, I really do, and I know he loves me, you know, I haven't got to fucking sleep with him. Hello, big gift in recovery, you know, and it's things like that that I've learned along the way, you know, and, you know, we've just been mates of mine, you know, we go on holiday, and it's about being like, it's like, you know, we go on holiday with all my mates, right? I'm the biggest out of all of us. One of them's a size 10, one of them's a whatever. I go topless, I don't give a shit, do you know what I mean? And I'm just like, come and then, get them out, you know. And I'm comfortable with that. I'm all right with me. It took me a long fucking time, you know. I've got curly hair normally. I blow dry it straight, you know. And I And it had to be, I had to blow dry it all the time. I had to look a certain part. Now I let it go. I've got fucking hair like a lion. It's fine. Like, who gives a fuck? I mean, it's straight tonight, I know. But do you know what I mean? It's like just being all right and being comfortable with me. And that's took a long time. You know, my journey has been, and this is not everyone's experience. This is not like what, you know, Jason shared his experience. You know, my experience has been, you know, from that first meeting, thank God, I didn't use. From that first meeting, I was so broken, so wound down, so fucking, even if I think about it, that thing of like, oh yeah, well, it's all right standing in a pub drinking a glass of champagne or a drink and having a line of cocaine, and secretly I was going at home on the crack pipe because no one knew, and I'd be like that, and you know what I mean? And just that fucking time again and again and again and again, like days would go past, and you know, that the greasy nose mark, you know, on the spiral, because I'm paranoid to fuck, I can't move. And I'm like that going, I can't move. And then I've got, because I'm a faces old woman, I know what I'm doing. Like, there's a bucket of bleach there that I can't breathe because the bleach is fucking killing me, along with the crack. Because if the old bill smashed my door in, where's it going? You know, I can just get rid of the evidence and throw it at, you know, the crazy fucking madness, you know, that it's just like, I just think, oh my God, thank God I'm not there today. It's like, thank you. Thank God I'm not there today. You know, I'm free. I'm free. I'm fucking free. You know, and I just think as well that I've got health issues going on at the moment as well, and I've had a headache for 5 weeks, and I stroke's running my family. My mum's had two, my dad's had one, my brother at my age had one last year. He's a year older than me. Gone to the doctor, I can't get rid of this headache, so they're sending me for an MRI because obviously stroke's running the family, and why have I had a headache for so long? And I used to massage down the theatres, down the West End. I used to massage all the actors, and you know, even that, you know, the head's like really fucking inappropriate, you know, like you're just fucking, hello. You know, there's this Hollywood actor that you've been massaging for 4 weeks, and you know, you go in there one day and he goes, can you massage the tops of my thighs, Roz? You know, and I go, yeah, and my disease goes, what with my tongue? You know, it's like, you know. And of course I didn't, you know. But what I'm trying to say is that's my head. That's what I fucking, you know, deal with. And I threw off, I forgot what I was going to say then, fucking first bit. See what I mean? I'm having a menopause as well. So, like, ladies, it's in the post, girls, I'm telling you. You forget what you're fucking saying, you go off on a tangent, you know. So this has given me, you know, so much fucking, I don't know, so much love, you know. And you can't get that out there. You really can't. I know that sounds corny. When I first come in, if I had someone like that, I'd be going, oh, so much love, we're like a hippie, you know. I'm going on a women's retreat. I'm going on holiday. I'm going on a women's retreat as well. And they said, you've got to bring your own duvet. I'm like, fucking having me over, ain't she? Going back to the health, because I've got a bad back. So going back to the health stuff is what I'm trying to say. I cannot use for that amount of time, whether it's drink, drugs, sticking a needle on a crack pie, putting all that in my body, and don't think it's going to have an effect on me. I'm in constant pain. I've got arthritis in my back. I've had an X-ray. My discs are out. So 6'7". And of course, my head's going, I'm going to wind up like Stephen Hawking in a wheelchair. You know what I mean? Like, I go straight to the fucking, you know, that. But I've been in pain, you know, and it's so easy to go, oh, you know, but I take 2 paracetamols in the morning, 2 at night, and I'm not going to take anything until I know what the fuck is going on, basically. Give me a diagnosis, because I tell you what, my disease, what I don't cope with is the not fucking knowing. I can cope with a yes, I can cope with a no. Give me or I don't know, I'm fucked. I'm in free fall. What do you mean you don't know? You know, and I remember someone who had 35 years said to me, Roz, isn't the recovery the waiting? I thought, I was scratching my head. What's he talking about? It is. It's the waiting. And that means in healing as well. You know, that's the recovery part. Because I want it now. I want instant gratification. I want it now. I want to know now. Da, 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 da. So, yeah, so I've been in pain, constant pain. I'm going on holiday, I'm going to Spain, They're not going to allow me to stand in a sun lounger for 10 days, but I can do my fucking try my best, I can assure you. And just find out. And what I'm trying to say is today, if this would have happened when I was using, can you imagine? I wouldn't even have gone to the doctor. I would have just took more drugs to cover the pain up. You know, it just, and it's that self-love. That self-love is like, okay, I'm scared, and I am scared. Because I think, well, if them, because I know the consequences of it. That's, you know, the massage will be. The consequences of the two discs going can be quite severe, you know what I mean? But I need to go there. I need to stand up. I need to be courageous. I need to go, look, this is what's happening. I need to just say, right, you know, please God help me, you know. And I think that's my 5 minutes that you showed me. So, yeah, just keep coming back. Do you know what I mean? For any newcomer out there, just keep coming back. You know what I mean? You've got a chance here. You've got a chance just being in this room. You got no fucking chance out there, none whatsoever, and I'll leave it there. Thanks.